It was 12 years ago that the Zapatista National Liberation Army staged its New Year's Day uprising in San Cristóbal de las Casas in the Mexican state of Chiapas. On the day NAFTA took effect, the Zapatistas declared war on Mexico's corrupt government, demanding justice for the country's indigenous people. In the years that have followed, the Zapatistas have gained widespread popular support throughout Latin America and around the world. Then last summer, Subcomandante Marcos made a somewhat cryptic announcement that the Zapatistas were evolving to meet the demands of changing times. This past January 1st, instead of launching an armed insurrection, the Zapatistas embarked on a six-month caravan tour of Mexico. Chris Arsenal is a co-founder of Students Taking Action in Chiapas, a solidarity group based in Halifax, and he's joined us this morning by phone to talk about where the Zapatistas are heading now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Great to be here.
So when the Zapatistas launched their insurgency in 1994, they were focused on NAFTA, and they were calling it a death sentence for indigenous people. At the time, the public support for NAFTA in Mexico was fairly high. What do you think the Zapatistas have accomplished in the past 12 years in terms of changing public opinion?
Well, I think in terms of Mexico, as well as here in Canada, that changing opinion around NAFTA has almost less to do with the Zapatistas and more to do with the fallacies and the lies that were promulgated with the agreement. What NAFTA was supposed to do for Mexico is make it the assembly ground for the United States. It was supposed to build a new manufacturing sector and make it an area of industrial production. And I think that's why so many people in Mexico supported the agreement. In 93, when they were first having discussions, Business Week magazine reported that 68% of Mexicans supported NAFTA. And today, there's less than 45% support for the agreement. And that's because rather than building a high-tech industrial economy, really all it's done is thrown a lot of people off the land because of cheap farm imports coming into the United States. And any of the industrial gains that were made in the first few years of the agreement have since been nullified because of China's burgeoning economic capacity. So what's happened is the maquiladoras or sweatshops that were big along the U.S.-Mexican border have essentially picked up shop and moved over to China, where wages are considerably lower than what Mexican workers are being paid. So the Zapatistas, that being said, the Zapatistas have had an important role in changing the popular conception of what NAFTA has done. They've been very instrumental in getting the plight of small farmers out to the majority of the Mexican population, especially in urban areas, through their communiques. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, an establishment Washington think tank, notes that 1.3 million farm jobs disappeared in Mexico by 2004, 10 years after the agreement was signed. So what we're seeing is this mass number of people being turfed off the land in order to promulgate industrial export-based agriculture. And the only gain for Mexico because of NAFTA has been that more people have been hopping the border to look for work in the United States and then sending remittances back home. So that's really the one gain they've seen, and most Mexicans rightfully don't want to just be a cheap labor source for the United States. So I think what the Zapatistas have now is they've got popular opinion politically on their side more with the demands they were stating, and I think that's going to be an important aspect in how this new campaign unfolds.
So last summer, Marcos announced that the Zapatistas would be changing their focus or their strategy. How did that decision come about?
You know, I'm not really sure. That's something you'd probably have to ask the comandantes in the CCRIG, the Clandestine Committee of Indigenous Revolutionaries, or the kind of elected popular leadership of the EZLN. I can speculate as to why that happened, and I'd assume I can't say certainly because I wasn't there. Like any journalist, I wasn't there for those kinds of discussions. But I mean, from the get-go, the Zapatistas were always the EZLN, the Zapatista National Liberation Army, and for the past couple of years, since their major march on Mexico City in 2001, they haven't had a major role in the national political landscape in Mexico or internationally. They've been more focused on building their own cooperatives and trying to straighten things out on the ground. So what I'd assume is this new initiative is trying to reclaim more of the political space in Mexico. In 94 and 95, the Zapatistas were a key driving force behind that nation's political scene. They were all over the media, and that attention has kind of receded. So I think they want to reclaim their spot and use the wave of popular support against NAFTA, against neoliberalism that we're seeing in Mexico and really all across the continent to get themselves back on the national stage. And I think this campaign is a key part to that. One thing we'll notice is right now presidential elections in Mexico are slated for July, and the front runner at this point is the left-leaning mayor of Mexico City, López Manuel Obrador. And he's trying to turn this popular sentiment in Mexico towards sort of an NDP-style social democracy. And what the Zapatistas are trying to say is, no, we don't need another slightly left-wing party. What we need is a strong grassroots and a new constitution. And they want to use this political feeling in Mexico to continue to build on what they started in 1994.
So now the Zapatistas have embarked on this national caravan tour throughout Mexico, as you said, in a campaign that's kind of mirroring the presidential election campaign in its timing. What are the goals for that tour?
Well, I think we need to clarify that it isn't the Zapatistas per se that are launching this tour. What they stated is they helped kickstart the other campaign, and when they did that the other campaign was formulated by a series of September meetings in La Garucha, which is a Zapatista stronghold and the launching point for Marcos's latest Savoy from this New Year's. And during that campaign, 36 political organizations, 129 groups, collectives, NGOs, and all kinds of what the Zapatistas call civil society met in La Garucha and decided to take on this new campaign. So at this point, the Zapatistas are a part of that campaign, but they aren't really calling the shots. It's bigger than them now, and that's what they're trying to do. So I think the goals, as they've stated it, are to build an unelected grassroots leftist movement across the country and to push for a new constitution. I'm sure many of your listeners will remember last time the Zapatistas took their show on the road was in 2001 after the 71-year reign of the Institutional Revolutionary Party ended in elections with Vicente Fox, the current president from the right-wing National Action Party, taking the presidency. And during that point, they launched a tour across Mexico to push for a new constitution. In 1996, the former government of Ernesto Zedillo signed the San Andreas Accords. And what those were supposed to do is guarantee autonomy, land rights, and other key prerogatives to all of Mexico's indigenous. And even though the government signed those accords, they haven't been implemented. So that was why they took on that first tour to build a new constitution that would recognize the diverse aspects of Mexico. And in this campaign, they're trying to build the national leftist movement, and also they're pushing for a new constitution. So those are the two key things they'll be looking for on this campaign. And I think what we'll be seeing is a lot of meetings with independent trade unions, with students, with farmers groups, with the diverse and divergent interests that are known as civil society, and from there they'll hopefully come up with some kind of political platform or some new group or use that democratic base to create some further kind of change. Right now this campaign is still in its formative stages and they're still discussing and working with these different groups to find out what exactly they're going to push for.
And some in Mexico, even people on the left, have been claiming in recent years that the Zapatistas have lost power since the 1994 uprising. Do you think that this tour will be able to counter that perception?
Well, I think that's definitely one of the reasons for this tour is to show that there's still a force in national politics. When one steps back a little bit and looks at this situation, I mean, for the size of the Zapatistas, they've been hugely monumental already in building a national movement prior to this new campaign. I mean, the New York Times reports that the key bases of the Zapatista support are around 250,000 people, which is important, but I mean that's not a huge population base in a country of over 100 million. So I think they've done a lot already, and it's pretty difficult for a group to constantly stay in the national spotlight or the international spotlight when they're not either fighting or being gunned down. So I don't think it's as bad as a lot of left-wing intellectuals in Mexico say, the fact that there's been less interest over the last number of years. But certainly the Zapatistas know they need popular support, they need attention, and I definitely agree that this initiative is key to trying to sort of break out of what some might call a stalemate with the government.
You mentioned that during the course of the other campaign, alliances are being built among groups on the left. Do you think that there are new collaborations being built between the Zapatistas and other groups that hadn't existed before?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody can speak to that yet because those links haven't been established. The campaign has just started, and I think we'll see if this is just a little bit redundant and something that they've already done, or if they really are concretely and pragmatically reaching out to new groups. And I don't think anybody can really speak to that yet. I think we'll have to essentially wait and see what happens, see who they meet with, see what kinds of resolutions and platforms they put forward, and go from there. I think it's too early to tell if the alliances will really be new.
And what's the role of solidarity groups like Students Taking Action in Chiapas, which you're involved with, in this new context and in the other campaign?
That's a very good question. There's been significant debate, more in the U.S. than in Canada, among Chiapas solidarity groups about the best way to respond and to build support with this new initiative. As it stands now, our organization, which is essentially all I can really speak to, has a number of projects on the ground that we've been working with. We're working in solidarity with a Zapatista boot cooperative who are trying to build a cooperative economic base in their communities by producing quality non-sweatshop boots, and we have a couple of other initiatives around school building and media work too. So as far as those are concerned, one of our delegates in San Cristobal went and met recently with the folks at the Boot Factory, and what they're basically saying is this new initiative is great, but we need to make our boots, we need to build our economy, we need to really show that autonomy is possible in these Misty Mountains. So we're going to continue to do that. So I think as it stands now, the role, in my opinion, of solidarity groups is basically unchanged. We're going to be observers at the different meetings that are coming up. We're going to be following the situation closely. But this is to build a national non-elected movement. That's the national grassroots movement. That's the prerogative of this mission. So for internationals, I think we should keep on our role of being international observers, of making sure that there isn't more paramilitary actions on the ground, that there aren't more forced displacements of communities, and that the military is keeping to its barracks and not harassing people. And in tantamount to that, continuing on what the RAND Corporation, a key U.S. think tank, calls net war, and that is to keep building the international media support for the movement. It's critical to note that as a military force, the Zapatistas could not have survived as long as they have without the support of national and international civil society. So we need to keep the heat on in that respect, show that there are still an estimated 18,000 troops occupying Chiapas and that landlord-backed paramilitaries are still rampant. So I don't know if our role really has changed too much with this initiative, but again, it's still in its formative stages, and we're going to have to wait and see exactly what comes out of it, and we'll be watching closely.
Well, thank you for speaking with us this morning, Chris.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Chris Arsenal of the group Students Taking Action in Chiapas, which is based in Halifax. Their website is stacmexico.com.